Hello, everyone, and welcome. And I feel like I want to start a little bit different today because I have someone with me today that will talk about performance and longevity. And we all love that, right? We all want to be younger, perform better, look better, have a lot of energy, a lot of great feelings and joy from life. So I'm looking forward to actually chat with you then, and welcome to my podcast. And I can't wait to dive in into performance, into longevity, health, and understanding our energy and how that influences our performance. So welcome.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me. Excited.
Yeah, I know. We are both actually excited. So we will need to manage the energy a little bit in this room. But welcome here. And look, I will probably ask you will do much better job than I. So if you can tell us more about what you do then, and how did you arrive into this space of longevity and performance and the work you do right now?
Yeah, sure. So I guess the 30-second overview is I am a strength and conditioning coach, an osteopath, and a functional medicine practitioner. So, I work with people mainly online these days who are struggling with chronic disease. Well, two main types of people: people that struggle with chronic disease or like symptoms that have they've been experiencing for a long period of time. They've generally been to lots of practitioners, lots of doctors, done lots of testing, spent thousands of dollars on supplements. They're not really getting any better, and they're looking for answers. And through functional medicine, I basically try and help them heal naturally, address the root cause of their dysfunction, so then they can improve their health long term and enhance their longevity. Second type of person I work with is usually more performance based people, so high level athletes and business owners. These people are generally, their health's pretty good, but they're just looking for what are those 1% things I can be doing to take my performance to the next level and perform at a higher level for a longer period of time. So, not just wanna I don't just want to perform well for 6 months, 12 months, and then burn out. Like, how do I perform at a high level and do that for 5, 10, 20 years without burning out and, putting my health first? So, in terms of what I do, we look at functional testing, so blood testing, DNA testing, stool testing. And then from that, getting a deep understanding of what is your genetic or biological blueprint, and then making sure that everything you're doing from training, nutrition, supplementation, lifestyle in between is all aligned to your physiology so that we're working with your body, not against your body, to ideally address any dysfunction and then long term, optimize function and performance.
Wow, that's like so many questions now coming just from that introduction. So I will probably just ask first, why you do what you do? Because I think that's very, very different practice. You combine all different sorts of learning and study that you did before, and also your practice probably started to change, what you were really doing. So is there any personal story or anything that influenced what you do now or why you do that?
Yeah, it's a bit of A and a bit of B. Like, there's definitely personal experience slash trauma of my
That's a
own.
normal thing.
Yeah, but there's also I've always had a deep interest in the human body, health, fitness. So yeah, really, I guess when I was in school, like I always loved sport. I was unfortunately injured quite a lot with a lot of knee injuries and spent a lot of time at the physio. So at a young age, I was always interested in becoming a physio, and learning about the body and rehab. And, I had to go through my own process of doing strength training and being in the gym and rehabilitating injuries. So that's sort of how I fell into like personal training and then becoming an osteopath. I really wanted to help people, get strong and improve their movement and prevent injuries and help people who are like me, who unfortunately at the time, my physio was a great bloke, but he probably wasn't the best
Yeah.
physio. So I wanted to help people with their rehabilitation, getting back to sport. And then a couple of years after I finished uni and I'd opened my clinic for a while and I'd been a business owner and, working in the allied health space, which, as a coach, coaching can be quite energetically draining,
Yeah.
especially if you're not putting yourself first and you're not smart about how you do it. So unfortunately, after a few years of coaching and being an osteopath and being a business owner, I burnt out pretty hard. Went through a lot of my own health conditions, so chronic fatigue, had some issues with my thyroid, gut issues. And at that time, I was spending a lot of times in the doctor's practices, getting blood tests, being told everything's normal, got told I had
Oh,
depression,
that one.
just take this medication, you'll be fine. So then I was always very holistic, I guess, in terms of my views. My mum's very woo-woo, some would say. My dad's an engineer, so I kind of got a nice blend of structure and woo-woo there. But I guess when I was told, like there's nothing we can do, you just got to take medication, there's nothing we can find, my natural response was, fuck that, I'm going to find a solution. So I went down the pathway of natural medicine and naturopathy and herbs and, all that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, that didn't help me either. So I kind of got stuck in this position where I'm like, well, conventional medicine's not helping, natural medicine's not helping.
What
What
is,
do I do?
yeah.
So yeah, it was probably about 5 years ago now. And since then, I just become absolutely obsessed from selfish reason initially of like, I just want to feel better. I couldn't get out of bed, had no energy, couldn't train, I looked like shit. And I was, heading down a pathway that obviously wasn't going to be great for my health. So I spent about 18 months in that time. Like, I was living in Melbourne. I sold my clinic. I shut down my clinic. I moved interstate from Melbourne to Gold Coast to, live in a place where if you want to choose somewhere to get healthy, Gold Coast is pretty good. Beach, sun, low stress. So yeah, I spent a good 18 months really just like healing myself and through that practice, learning a lot practically. By living it, but also, spending quite a bit of time and money on mentors and courses and education just to upskill and understand more
Yeah.
about the human body. And I guess, yeah, since then, the last 3, 4 years, I've just been obsessed with human health performance and how I can help people who are in my position where it's like you might not be feeling the best, you might, be struggling with some sort of disease and or injury or symptom, and you're not getting the help that you want or deserve. And then you want to go to the opposite side of the spectrum, which is I don't just want to feel good. I don't just want to be average or normal. I want to be at my peak and, perform my best, look my best, and feel my best.
Yeah, I wish I met you a few years ago. I'm like, that would be great to understand, because I was going for a very similar journey, but I actually tried to look for different doctors and different tests, and they did so many tests and everything was normal. And I was like, no, like nothing is normal. Like, and we know, I think for everyone who is listening, this is really important what you shared, because so many times we disregard our internal feeling, our gut feeling, our intuition that we know something is not okay. And because our tests and doctors said, right, we think because they said we are okay, we think we are okay. But there is so much more in human body. And I think that's a very important message to understand, that if you feel like something is not okay, if you are tired, and if you're 30, 40, 50 years old and you're tired after 5 p.m., that's not normal, right? The fatigue is not normal. It's not normal to walk around like a zombie and feel exhausted. So I feel like I was normalizing that. And I don't know, I'm sure you're meeting clients, they kind of normalize that, right? So it's probably normal. I'm getting older. Maybe I'm not that fit anymore. And all those excuses we made for ourselves. But how do you find those people? Because I think it's so many people, they don't even know about that, right? Like something is wrong.
Yeah. Well, there's two things that came to mind in terms of what you're saying then. Number one is when you get your blood test assessed by a GP or a doctor, this is no disrespect, no shade, just some facts. Guess how long your doctor studies blood tests or how to read blood work in their 8 years at uni?
Well, 5 minutes just looking around and check the vitamins and cholesterol, and that's it.
It's about 8 weeks.
Ah.
So more than 5 minutes, which is good. But in the scheme of 8 years, it's like they don't like that's a drop in the ocean. So again, it's not shade, it's just to put in perspective of like if I took my car to a mechanic who had studied mechanics for 8 weeks, would I feel very confident and would I pay attention to his feedback when he's telling me what's wrong with my car? So I think people got to understand just, what is like what's the reality of the situation is like the doctors and the medical system, the conventional medical system is designed to keep you alive, it's designed for acute emergencies or acute health conditions. If I
Yeah,
get my arm
man.
cut off, if I get hit by a bus, if I have a severe infection,
You want to go to hospital? Yeah.
yeah, go and doctor. A hospital is amazing. Best thing since sliced bread, antibiotics, and all these things. But when antibiotics aren't great and when all these other medications aren't great and the GPs and the conventional medicine is not great, is when it's like, hey, there's brain fog. I've got this, I've got a painful period, I've got bloating, I've got low energy. Like when it's all these like what I call preclinical conditions or preclinical symptoms, where it's like it's not quite bad enough to diagnose you, but it's not quite good enough to be living and thriving. You're in this like what I call the purgatory zone, where it's like nothing's wrong on paper, but you don't feel 100%. You're not feeling great, but you're also not shit enough to get diagnosed. And that's where conventional medicine doctors really struggle. And it's really where people like me and you and a lot of people listening to this, I'm sure, kind of feel a bit let down and gaslit because you've been told you're normal when you're not normal.
Yeah,
So.
I was going to ask, because I was thinking, because I believe that's covering a majority of population. I don't think a lot of people feel in that, peak performance. because there are so many things and so many factors that are influencing us every day. So I will probably ask you more about that performance and longevity from that perspective. What is that actually that is taking away the performance? What are the common things, most common things?
Yeah, and well, the other thing too is just like understanding what is normal, because like you said that before, which is going to tie into this, which is, you said like low energy and all that stuff's normal. I think there's a difference between what's normal and what's common. Like what's super common these days is low energy, fatigue, brain fog, bloating, not feeling 100%. And because it's common, we then confuse it as being normal versus it's not normal, it's just common. And like fun fact as well is 61% of people in Australia, this is in 2022, so it's probably higher by now, but 61% of people in Australia are living with at least one chronic disease, like diabetes, cardiovascular disease, obesity. So if you take 100 people and you get their bloods done, and you take the average of 100 people, of which 61 of them are sick, and now you're comparing yourself against the average of 61 people who are sick, do you really want to be like, is normal actually something good, or is normal, not something you want to strive to? Like, I don't want to be normal when I'm compared to someone who's sick, depressed, overweight. So that's the big thing, is we just people don't understand what is the assessment tool we're using. Like the person who's assessing isn't really skilled in that area, and then the metric they're using to assess you is based off a flawed system again, which is we're testing you against people who are sick. So that's why most people get let down so much. And that's why most people who are in these preclinical conditions don't get help until 5, 10, 15 years later, and then it's a big problem. I guess in terms of how people get to that point, number one, obviously, I speak to a lot of people where they're like they think they're doing the right things. They're like, I get my bloods taken every year and everything's normal. And then one day at 60, John just got told he had autoimmune disease. And it's like, whoa, we've been looking at your bloods every year the last 40 years and we couldn't see anything wrong. And then overnight you just got autoimmune disease. And then it's you got bad genetics and you had bad luck.
Yeah, I know.
Genetics and bad luck, it's the complete opposite. Genetics load the gun, environment pulls the trigger. So genetics are what you're born with. You can't manipulate your genetics, but there's a second area of study called epigenetics, which is the expression of your genetics,
Yeah,
i.e.
same thing.
what turns genes on and off. You can
Yeah.
have, they've done studies on this, identical twins, both have a gene for cancer. One of them, lives a very healthy life. This is a very simplistic explanation. The other one, smokes and, drinks and does all the things that are bad for you, obviously. And he gets cancer, and the other twin doesn't get cancer. Identical twins, exact same genetics. Why does one of them get cancer and the other one lives to 100? Your environment, or your lifestyle, your habits, your routines, your behaviors. So to answer the question, is exactly that. What causes a lot of these chronic diseases? It's not bad genetics, it's not bad luck, and it's not everyone else's fault. It's your fault. It's a summation of your habits, your routines, your behaviors, or your environment. The food you put in your mouth, the water you consume, the bad habits you do every day, the good habits you don't do every day, done over weeks, months, years, until it gets to the point where all that stress starts to accumulate in the body and starts to cause disease. If we look at the word disease and put a little asterisk in between the S and the E, what is the opposite of disease? It's ease. Your body's in flow, your body's healing, your body's recovering. One of the biggest philosophies of osteopathic medicine is the body has its own self-healing and self-regulatory mechanisms, i.e., if you give the body what it needs, it'll heal, it'll repair, it'll recover. The same as a flower. If you look at a flower and a flower looks really sad, no one looks at a flower and says, oh, wow, that flower's got a deficiency in prescription medication. Like you look at it and you go,
Water.
what does a flower need? Water, sun, and love. Give it some TLC. Yeah, same as humans. Give it good quality water, good quality nutrition, community, connection, and that human will thrive. You don't give it prescription medication for the next 40 years because
Yeah.
that wasn't the reason why they got sick in the first place.
I love that. Okay. I really love what you're saying. So there's a lot of things that I love epigenetics as well. And I love how they actually explain that you can actually switch on, switch off basically the genes, right? Like you can actually heal yourself. And I think you mentioned a few things, environment, habits, what you eat, what you drink, and all that stuff.
Yeah, what you're anything you're exposed to, I guess if you
Yeah.
want to go deep into that, like environment's the biggest one, because environment is like the umbrella, and then with under the umbrella it's like, all right, we've got, what do you consume, what touches your skin. So it's like your skin is your biggest organ, so what do you absorb through your skin? So what are you putting on your skin? Products. So think household products, cleaning products, skincare products. That's one component. Then the next component is, well, food quality and water quality. If you're consuming processed food that's full of emulsifiers and thickeners and sweeteners and preservatives and gums and, seed oils and all these things. That's another type of stressor in your body. That's more of a chemical stressor. We then look at, air quality, water quality. Again, you're breathing air every day and you're drinking water every day. If you're not breathing good quality air and you're not drinking good quality water, that's again a stress into the body. So it's never one thing, it's a combination. It's 1% here, 1% there, 1% there, 1% there. And it's compounding interest. But if you've ever invested before, we know compounding interest is something great if you're going this direction. If you've ever had a credit card before or credit card debt, you know that compounding interest in the other direction is not very fun. And that's sort of what's happening with your body. It's like we've got all these areas of the 1% stress that we kind of brush off. We're either not aware of it, or we're aware of it and we don't take it seriously because it's like, who's this crazy guy on a podcast talking about toxins in our water? He's a bit crazy. It's like, maybe I'm a bit crazy,
I
but
will be definitely asking you about Australian water because I think it's very bad.
yeah.
But
It's like, if you look at all the contaminants in all the things I've mentioned individually, plenty of evidence, plenty of research, plenty of science that says all these things are harmful to our metabolic health. You now combine 5, 10, 15 of those things, and you consume them on a daily basis for 5, 10, 20 years in conjunction to high stress in your life, in conjunction to poor diet, in conjunction to, a poor environment, poor relationships, pre-existing potential, sort of genetic predispositions to certain conditions. Put all that stuff together and you've got the perfect cocktail for disease.
So what do you okay when you when you when you're talking about all these stresses, right? Like I know I'm sure there is a big part of that is mental stress, right? Or emotional stress we experience every day and can be work related, business related, finance related, family related, relationships related, like all that stuff. It can be really, some people are in a bad state. But there's also other parts where you can balance that with food, with water, with exercise, what you put on your face, as you said, skincare and everything. So when you look at it holistically, what are the maybe, let's say, top five or top 10 that we can easily remove right now? Easiest way, we don't need any extra advice, or extra thing to think about or do. But what is that we can change in our life that can dramatically actually change our health or vitality?
I look at it from two perspectives. I think we're going to use the analogy of, so you touched on it where you said different types of stresses. So if we think about stresses, we've got three.
I need to pause you because I lost you totally. So if when we look at two, you said something about two, and after that I lost you. So if you can.
All good. So I guess we look at it two ways. Think of your body as having a stress bucket, and there's different types of stresses, which you kind of touched on. I looked at it as three different main areas. We've got environmental, we've got chemical, and we've got physical. Oh, sorry, four. We've also got emotional. Okay, so there's four main areas that we look at from stress. So yes, each of those areas individually is going to add stress to your bucket, and your nervous system, your brain can't differentiate between where the stress is coming from, what type of stress is. It just knows there's stress in my bucket. So we want to look at two things. Number one, there's unproductive stresses, and these are things that I think of them as like they're a withdrawal from your bank account or a withdrawal, of your resources. They're making your bucket shrink in size and they're filling your bucket up. On the flip side, we have productive stresses, and these are things that increase the size of your bucket, i.e. make you more resilient and you can handle more stress. Think of these as like deposits into your bank account. So it's a balance between withdrawals and deposits. So what are some things we can do? I'd say in terms of withdrawals, things that are going to be zapping your energy, decreasing your mitochondrial function, your metabolic health, and aging you faster, increasing stress. We can look at the quality of our water. That's the first thing we can do. Stop drinking tap water and look at a good quality water filter that uses reverse osmosis, remineralizes the water. That's going to be a big game changer for your health. Number two would be from a dietary point of view, stop consuming processed food that's full of additives and what I call food-like products or fake food, and just eat raw whole foods. Number three would be, sleep. Is not none of this is very sexy, but sleep, direct correlation between decreased sleep over a long period of time and increased mortality, i.e., you're going to die younger. So sleep. The next one would be in terms of the environment. So controlling, I kind of touched on things before, like doing a bit of an audit around your house of like, what are all the products that you're currently using cleaning, spray and wipe, dishwashing, laundry. I have a cheat sheet that I created. I can share it with your audience if you'd like to make it easy. Of like
Yeah.
all the simple swaps you can make. You do it once. You do a quick audit, you throw out all your old shit, you go and buy a bunch of new stuff. It costs you a little bit of money on that week because you're buying a bunch of new products. But then once you've done it once, you know exactly, cool, these are the things I use. I don't use anything that's off this list. And that's going to dramatically decrease the amount of toxins and chemicals you're exposed to and dramatically influence your health. And the last one would be sort of on that is also looking at, environmental stresses or emotional stresses. So removing yourself from toxic environments and toxic people, which I'm sure you're all over. Yeah. So there are things when it comes to like what's zapping your energy, what's withdrawing money from your bank account. So we always want to, my philosophy is you always want to subtract before you add. Most people, when they're in a state of poor health, or even if they're in a good health and they want to be better, it's always like, what can I add?
Just add on.
They're always looking for biohacking. What's, should it be red light? Should it be sauna? Should it be ice bath? Should it be this supplement? Should it be this? It's like at the moment, there's 10 things over here that are withdrawing money from your bank account. Would you be more interested in getting rid of things that are taking your money before you try and earn more money? It's like
Yeah.
it's like, look at your finances. Maybe you don't need to earn more money. Maybe you just got to stop spending money on things that aren't serving you. So what's going to add to your bank account? Movement. Sauna. If you're not doing sauna is one of the best health hacks. 4 times a week, 20 to 30 minutes. Traditional infrared doesn't matter. Just sauna 4 times a week for 20 to 30 minutes. You can dramatically improve every aspect of your health, mentally and physically. Strength training, again, dramatically going to increase both your health physically. So we're talking musculoskeletal, joint health, strength, mental health, metabolic health, and also directly correlated with decreasing disease risk and
Yeah.
mortality. And the last one, which correlates to the last one over there, is relationships and environment. Surround yourself with people who obviously have good energy and don't hang around the wrong crowds. If you do those simple things, obviously there's potentially more to it if you're dealing with a chronic condition, but starting with those as your basics, it's going to take you a long way. And obviously sunlight as well, I didn't mention, but sunlight goes without saying.
Yeah, I love it because there is that was a major thing that when I was experiencing the fatigue or like really like I was exhausted. Basically, I was going for a burnout as you as well, and it was I just didn't know what to do. I honestly didn't know, and my gut health was really bad, and I didn't know what can I eat. I think I developed like 21 food allergies, which was really strange because I wasn't allergic to anything. And through actually removing, like you said, removing the stress and working through meditations, some practices, breath work, I was actually removing the, trauma because that was my major stress at that time. And everything that was caused by that was basically that was the major kind of piling up. And of course, food and everything. I was always exercising, but exercise doesn't help when you actually have all these other stresses there. So as you said, like you need to take away something and then you can add on. So going around when you are under super stress, exhausted, tired, and your body is depleted, it's really tough. And it's actually putting you even in more stress because your body can't even handle the run or, the weights or whatever training you do. So it actually didn't help me. It was very interesting because I thought, the exercise will help me. So I definitely experienced that. Withdrawing first and then adding because I was doing basically the opposite. I was still being in trauma and just didn't know how to heal that or how to heal that stress. It's very, very interesting. And exactly when I was moving away from that, it's basically removed the part of big stress, I started to feel better and I was eating healthier and exercising. And after that, when you're adding up, you actually feel like you're gaining strength. You feel actually more vital. So yeah, absolutely love that what you're doing and what you're doing in for your clients and for your customers. So when you look at that from perspective of now, we're talking about stress. So when we take it to that higher level, like I want to be performing high in a sport. I want to be I don't know, a professional athlete, or I want to just really, hit the performance and hit the results in, I don't know, any kind of sport. So what do you do then when you're looking at that part? Like, would you be again, maybe, I don't know, reviewing all the stressors and food and adding on trainings, or what is there, like how you can help people in that space?
Yeah, like everyone seems to think it's going to be super different when you work with people at that level. But I always say you're working with like athletes are humans first. So
Yeah.
the principles are the exact same. The process is the exact same. The main difference is if I follow my process with someone whose starting point is a one, it's going to take them from a one to a five. If I take someone who's at a seven, I'm going to take them from a 7 to a, a 9 or a 10. The principles are still the same. It's just obviously the starting point of that is very different. Like someone who's got chronic disease, autoimmunity, chronic fatigue, for them, it's going to be much more of a, even what you touched on there, it's like it's balancing yin and yang. Like people think this is a big thing I focused on when I used to work with lots of autoimmune clients, is like they get told, you gotta do ice baths, you gotta do saunas, you gotta go to the gym, you gotta do all these things. It's like their body is already running off negative energy because they're in energy debt because they've been doing
I've
this
been
so
there.
long. And now you're trying to ask them to do, like, those are positive stresses in the right scenario when they actually have energy to spend. But right now you got someone with credit card debt and you're asking them to go spend money, even though the things they're buying are good for them. So I think the main difference is like when you have those people in the chronic disease autoimmune category, it's less is more, more yin, less yang, taking pressure off them, training 9 times out of 10 is not going to be existent. It's just movement. I think there's a big distinction there. Movement is move your body in any way, in any shape, in any form, get your steps in. Training is obviously a specific goal and more intense and more stressful. So that's, I guess, what happens when you're working with those people. Whereas with the athletes and the people who are at a high level and there's not really like a immediate concern, it's usually just same process. Like when we do blood work or, to genetic testing and stuff like that, we're just looking at where are the gaps that we're not aware of. Because no matter how healthy you are, no matter how healthy you think you are, no matter what level of athlete you are, like I worked with Olympic athletes, I've worked with world champion bodybuilders, powerlifters, and even those guys are still not perfect. Like I do their blood tests and there's still 5 or 6 deficiencies. There's still some dysfunction. There's still some like, gut issues are super prevalent. And I see a lot of the time. So for them, it's like, I'm not your coach. Like I'm not your volleyball coach. I'm not your basketball coach. I'm not your footy coach, but I'm looking at your metabolic health and going, well, hey, if you're performing at this level right now with this blood work, if we can get your bloods from here to here, address those deficiencies, improve a few little areas, that's going to 30% of your performance. You're going to recover faster, jump higher, sprint faster, or perform at a higher level longer. Or, for the business owners, it's more a cognitive performance. It's like you're obviously at the moment, you're performing this level of output, in this level of money, you're an executive. If we could improve your cognitive function by 30%, what's that going to mean in terms of how much work you get done, how long you can perform at that level, preventing burnout, et cetera. So it's the same principles, it's just applied differently. And I guess when you're working with those people, you've got more budget to work with, so you can deploy some of the more advanced strategies versus with this people, it's kind of like, it's like going to the shop with a dollar and you're surrounded by all this organic food. It's like, I'd love to buy it, but I'm kind of out of cash. Versus these guys, it's like, I've got all the money, but now equally having money, you got to be responsible and know how to use it. And you got to be selective of like, there's 10 different things I can do. Which one of these potential modalities is going to be the thing that has the highest return on investment for this individual athlete based off their needs, their goals, their blood work, their deficiencies, et cetera.
I can actually see also there's another part when you talk about environment. I was just thinking it's very hard for some people when they get, for example, advice from you. You will tell them, exactly what to do, what to eat, what to remove, and some people start to do that. And I think when you don't have supportive environment, so many people slip back probably to old habits. So they are 1, 2, 3 weeks great. They eat no sugar and they change. They don't eat processed food. But after that, I don't know, son and daughter or husband or wife, they come, and they bring this stuff in the fridge and it's everywhere. So I feel like there is always that environment part that we need to actually, I don't know, I find very, very easy when you take people on board with you. So actually when you are going to improve, actually other people improve with you. So do you have any recommendation there for people? Because I'm sure that you have some amazing success stories, but also some people they kind of slip back and you meet them maybe after a year, and you're like, oh, this guy, didn't follow up, didn't do the work afterwards when we finish. What do you think usually happens? What is the kind of the danger of, slip back into old habits?
I think it usually happens when it's too outcome focused and you move too fast. So, like, a big thing for me is that health is a journey, not a destination. It's not how fast you get there, it's how long you stay there, and it's who you become in the process. Because I can give you the best nutrition plan, the best supplements, and everything you just mentioned, like, the best protocol. But you're working with humans, and and humans, as you know, we love to fuck things up, especially when they're going well. We're just like, things are going well. I'm just going to blow it up. So I think, obviously, without going, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not like specializing in psychology and mindset. But I think when I look at it, I look at it as, how can we create an identity change which is usually going to be through education and awareness, so they have the skills and the tools so they can do these things longer ongoing. So like that's just my coaching strategy. Like I never I'm always, with my clients, I'll give them the tools and the structure, but it's always like, I'm teaching you how to fish. I'm not giving you the fish. The first month, I'll give you the fish because you don't know anything. So here's the fish. But after the first, I tell them, here's your meal plan for the first month, but here's a database and strategies of all the things you need to know over the next 4 weeks. In our coaching calls, I'm going to teach you all these things. So by the end of the first month, you can then build your own meal plan, modify your meal plan. You understand food. You have a good relationship with food. You know what you should be doing, shouldn't be doing. And they start to have the slow but gradual identity shift, and they start to become a healthy person. Because if you don't identify and become the healthy person, then anyone can follow a health plan for 12 weeks, but
Love
doesn't,
that.
if you're still internally not a healthy person, you're still going to make shit decisions when you stop following said program. So I think it's more the, if you've ever heard of like the be do have model, which is, forget who wrote it, but be do have, where it's like, what are usually people focus on the what do I want to have, which is outside, so circle B, then do, then have. I focus on the have, but if you don't become the person, be the person that you need to be to have the things you want, then you'll get the things and you'll never keep them. So it's all really about that identity shift, and I think that just comes from, when I work with people, it's like minimum 6 months, generally speaking. Like I have options to work with me, consult and stuff, but when it comes to coaching, 6 month process, because I need 6 months to give you the education, the tools, and the psychological changes so you can now do these things for the next 2, 5, 10, 15 years. If I just do a consult and a protocol with you, sure, here's the best plan, but good luck
Doesn't
following
work.
it. When, like you said, you're a human first. They have kids, they have family, they have shit come up. What happens when things don't go textbook perfect, which rarely happens?
And look, you perfectly answered the question because I'm totally with you on that side, because that was the major thing why I developed the neuro identity shift, right? Because I was having people with me and the clients, customers, we did leadership stuff, we did all other coaching, we changed for for a little while. And I was like, why is this not working? Why is it not sustaining? Why is it not sticking on people, right? And that was the major thing, that people actually just focus on results or outcome for that short period of time, and after that they actually change back because they didn't shift much. So if it's all cognitive therapy and talking therapy doesn't work, so that was kind of my major thing that I changed in the coaching business or the coaching industry itself, because it's embodiment, right? It's who you are, who you become. It's every second of your day. What is the decision? What decision I'm going to make? I was with a friend. We had actually a business meeting, and he was like, "Oh, are you going to have a glass of wine?" I said, "No," and he ordered beer, right? And I was like, "Okay, so great." And he was like, "Are you sure you don't want?" And he asked me like 5 or 6 times, and I was looking at him, and I was like, "Look, I'm happy for you to do whatever you want to do, but are you really uncomfortable with not like me not having actually a glass of wine?" And he was like, "Why you don't drink?" And actually, people get surprised. Said it's because I'm conscious about what am I putting into my body. I'm asking every day when I'm going out, when I'm going for dinner, when I'm going for lunch. And I'm not saying that's boring or something, or I can't touch alcohol, but I'm always asking, is this decision I want to make? Is this the thing, the poison that I want to put into my body? Because we all know alcohol is a poison, right? So why I will make or how, why I would make that conscious decision about that, putting that into my body? So I was thinking, like I'm teaching people to be different person, different human, a better identity. You're teaching people to perform higher. Why we should do that, right? Like you can make the conscious decision every day.
Yeah,
And
100%.
I'm not saying that it'll be, 100% of the time the same decision always, but being aware of, I'm not doing this every day. I'm not doing this every week. I'm not doing this every month because I don't need that. And I think people get a little bit lost in that, but today's Saturday, or no, today's Sunday, I don't know, Friday. So I think you are doing something that is kind of new way of living, right? A new way of approaching the health and lifestyle and being aware and being conscious about that every day. And I think that's so important. And I love that you said it, the person needs to actually change who they become. And it has to be their nature and not even question, right? So
I think
great.
that's the difference, though. It's like
Love that.
if it's your identity and you embody it, it's not conditional. Versus when you only do things when they're convenient and it's conditional, then that's not really embodiment. That's just following a plan. Like another example, what you said there, like bang on. But a big thing for me when I travel is I travel a lot, and I spend a lot of time at airports. And the easy, convenient option is to get McDonald's or get Starbucks or just go off my plan. And like, there's a lot of easy ways you could what's the word? I guess rationalize it. Where it's like, oh well, what could I do? I'm at the airport. There's no food. It's like, but it's like I could do that, and no one would really blink twice if I was like, hey, I just had to because I had no option. Like, no one would berate me for that. I'd be like, oh, it's fair enough. And even yourself, you can kind of convince yourself of like the reason, that voice in your head that convinces you that why it's okay, and you justify it. It's like, fuck that. My identity is I'm a healthy person and I care about my body, and I'm also trying to lead and tell other people to do the same. So it's like, I'm going to find a solution to do it. People say, oh, you're crazy. Like, why don't you just, why are you doing this and this? It's like, well, because to me, that's just like, it's not even a decision. That's just how I live. Like, I have to think about it anymore. It's just, that's what
Is
I do,
that
and that's who I am. But
absolutely?
that takes repetition and time to get there. And even, what you said about the drinking thing, I'm not a robot. I'll go out and have a drink, have a bit of fun. I'm 29 years old. I used to party a bit when I was younger. But it's like, I think the biggest thing there is, it's a conscious decision. If you're unconsciously doing these things, it's very different to like, I consciously decide that this weekend I'm going to have a drink, and I understand it's not the best thing for my body, and I'm going to feel inflamed, and the next day I'm probably going to feel shit, but I'm going to do it, and I'm conscious, and I'm aware of it, and I'm okay with the consequences, and it's all good. It's very different to like, I feel peer pressure to have a drink, or I feel like I need to have a drink, or I'm drinking because I'm bored and don't feel good enough, and all these other kind of things. So I think it's not about being restrictive. It's not about creating anxiety. Something I always say to my clients is like, awareness over anxiety and progression over perfection. As long as you have awareness, you can make a decision. It's not about having food and anxiety and being like, oh my God, I can't eat anything because I'm trying to eat healthy, or
Oh, that's the voice, yeah.
It's just like, you can eat that if you want to. I'm not telling you you can't, but just have awareness of if you eat that versus that, you're going to feel this way or that way. Now that you know both these things, you're an adult making an informed decision. And
Perfect.
own that decision. I'm not going to berate you for eating the donut, but if you eat the donut and you feel like shit, then that's your decision. Same.
Sorry.
As I said, we can talk about this all day.
Yeah, I know, like, because I'm the same. Like, we have a very strict diet, but Saturdays we can actually eat whatever we want for one meal, and I can have sweets, I can have something, I can have carbs, I can have all the things. But I know when I have it, and I actually don't even feel it. I don't even feel, being, how we said it, like teased, by different foods. It doesn't actually bother me anymore. So it's just really, when you change the lifestyle, when you change yourself, you feel very different about food, and it's the change of the relationship as well with food and everything, with all stresses. So I love everything what you were talking about. We can probably talk more deeper next time about, water, food, and all other stuff, because there is so much more to uncover. But if people want to find you, people want to actually get a test, and they want to know, how to perform better and try to find out the gaps in their health and in their stresses, how best they can find you, how best they can connect with you.
Mainly it's just through Instagram at the moment. So it's just at dr.daniel.kirkbride. And for anyone who's interested in knowing how they measure up with their health, we do offer a free blood test audit review. So you just pay for your own blood test or get it from the doctor, send the results through, and we have a comparison table that compares you against the optimal reference ranges and tells you exactly where your gaps are. So if you're not too sure, you're sick and tired of going to the doctor and getting told everything's normal, that's a really good option that you can utilize.
Perfect. So what I will do for everyone who is listening, I will share your details in description of the podcast, so they can connect with you on Instagram, or they'll send you a message, or book the call, or book a meeting with you, so they can actually start their process. Thank you so much for your time, and hopefully we will have a chat again soon. Wish you all the best, and for you, probably final words for the people that are actually tuning in today. What will be maybe the last kind of wisdom that you can leave them with?
Ooh.
That's the hard one always.
I mean, the thing I always tell my clients, it's actually on my welcome pack, is health is a destination, not a journey.
Perfect.
Play the long game.
Yeah, nice one. And I really actually took that away when you said it a few minutes ago. That was amazing topic. Like, really understand that is a journey, and you can make choices every day and become more conscious about what you are eating, what you're drinking, and where are you spending time. So thank you so much, Dan. Have a beautiful day, and I will see you next time.
You very much.
Thank you. I will stop.